It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you. Thank you ever so much for coming through to talk to us.
And I'm greeting you from Solusi University in Bulawayo.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yesterday you were here, and now you're there.
Yeah, yesterday I was in Pretoria, but now I'm in a beautiful university here, Solusi, in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
All right.
So greetings to you, Naye, and AWR listeners.
Thank you. It's such a joy
to be with you again.
No, thank you very much, Mfundis. Let's just get into it now. We're always told about the accounts of miracles attributed to Jesus in the Bible, which some people don't really believe are true. They believe it's just some mythicism coming from Christianity to the extent that some people have gone to the extent of saying it's Christian mythology. But I want us to talk about that. Talk to us about the significance of faith and believing in Jesus and his miracles.
Yeah, well, it has a significant role in the New Testament, of course, in the Old Testament, but we talk about Christ now. It does have a significant role. So I think your question is very important, because you cannot talk about Christ and not talk about him performing miracles. Mm-hmm. So we can't just say, no, miracles are not important, but Christ is. It looks like there is some connection between Christ's work and
the miracles. Yeah.
So we not just talk about a Christ who preaches, everybody else preaches, but we also talk about the Christ who feeds the 5,000.
Yeah.
Talk about feeding 5,000. Somebody says Christ fed 5,000, but today 5,000 are feeding Christ. I mean, they are feeding the preacher.
Wow. Wow. That's something to talk about. Sorry, Buddhist, go ahead.
So we have to reflect on the miracles. But what we can say is, why would the New Testament devote so much space on miracles if miracles was not something that was not even expected of the Messiah? You know, the Jews knew there was going to be a Messiah, but the miracles was not really part of Messiah. In other words, if you were to create a figure of a Messiah, you wouldn't really delve into miracles as if that was also a job description. Now, you've had founders of movements, Buddha, Muhammad, mm-hmm. and others, and nobody says anything about them performing miracles, but yet they are big in their movements.
Right. Mm.
So do you really need to come up with fake events called miracles in order to elevate Christ to a certain level of authority, when there are others without miracles who are revered in their movement?
Hmm.
It's either miracles are a lie, or there's something very unique and only attached to Christ. By the way, none of the people I've mentioned are reported to have performed miracles. We have reports of people who say Christ performed miracles, but we have no report of people saying that Muhammad performed miracles.
That's right.
Then what are we saying? That their report is more authentic because there are no miracles, and this one, because there are miracles, it is less authentic. It would not be very, very, to be honest, very legitimate way of raising the issues. But people are Kant, Hume. I mean, whenever people talk about miracles, they would quote him and say he says that miracles are a contravention of natural laws. So miracles are outlawed. You can't have miracles. But if you believe in God who created the world,
yeah.
If you believe in God who in the beginning existed and created all that we see, what would make it difficult for you to believe that this God can perform miracles?
Yeah.
You see, people discount miracles because already that they've discounted God's existence.
Okay. Okay.
Are you with me? And so that's why. So in a world where God exists, in a world where God is the superintendent,
mm.
why would you exclude miracles in that world?
Okay. All right.
And then now we come then to look at the miracles. Now, miracles, are they a sign to a certain extent? Because remember, the Jews would ask, what sign can you do to make sure that we really believe that you are indeed a son of God? And but Jesus Christ refused to do that.
He says
in many occasions.
An evil generation seeks a sign.
Yeah, he says, I'm not going to do anything. Yeah. He said, there's enough for you to base your faith on, even without me doing that. But whenever he did that, you could actually see why it was done. It was not just a grandiose way of saying, yeah, I took a clay, as Quran would say, and then formed a pigeon out of clay just to perform miracles. So, no, those were not grandiose. Those were not miracles just for the sake of trying to bolster my identity and authority. But those were miracles designed to be not just sign, there's sign also, there's God's involvement, but as a service, as help. You know, for example, look at the turning of water into wine.
Yeah.
Christ is a reluctant miracle worker there in that scene. He's even, Mary comes to us and says, do something.
Yes.
We've run out of water. It's not like Christ came and says, I'm going to do a miracle now.
Yes. He said, it's not my time.
I can come up with wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like he met a practical, there was a need. And for you to wait for the grape to plant it and water it until you can produce wine. That would take about a year. And then they need it now.
Yeah.
So sometimes miracles are just a shortcut to a natural process that would have happened.
Okay.
But other times it is actually a reversal. Like Lazarus dies, Lazarus is resurrected. It's a reversal of a process that has actually been finalized. Like it's death now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it reversed. You can't say if you had allowed Lazarus to die for 6 months, he would come back to life. He would not.
Yeah.
So he comes back to life. So whenever we see miracles, there is, and I'm going to say this, whenever we see miracles, it doesn't mean the one who performs miracles has divinity or is God.
Okay.
Because disciples also perform miracles.
Yeah.
But what it tells us is that he has connection with God. Actually, when the disciples perform miracles, they don't say, we perform miracles so that you can see that we have the power.
Yeah.
They always ascribe that to God's intervention.
Yeah, you've jumped the gun there, Mfundisi. You've jumped the gun. Because I was just about to ask about to the issue of the divinity. How does his miracles confirm his divinity? And now, Paul, you've answered the second part, which is if performing miracles are also a sign of divinity, does it mean people who perform miracles are divine? So you've addressed that. Address the first part. How do these miracles confirm that Christ is divine then?
Yeah, that's true. Because remember, we've said there are others who also performed miracles, but they were not divine.
That's right, yes.
But they performed those miracles because they were connected to divinity.
Okay.
In other words, you know, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When Christ sends them, he says, you will do, these miracles will follow you. So that even for the miracles that are performed by the apostles, we have to ascribe those to Christ.
Okay.
Are you with me?
So now
your question is, now let's look at Christ. When we look at Christ, how then do we interpret the miracles? Now, we interpret the miracles that Christ performed to two sources. One, that he was indeed sent by God. All right?
Okay.
Remember, he's the anointed. So, and we have said others who were there, and we could use that as not as a comprehensive argument, exhaustive argument. Others who were founders of religions. None of them even are reported to have performed miracles.
Yes.
So when you say Christ performed miracles, because it also confirmed that he was indeed who he said he was.
Okay.
But then we look at some of the miracles that he performed, and some of those also tell us his identity, that he, Christ, actually is God.
Yeah.
Because he says, I perform this now.
Yes.
He's not just praying to God. It's like he's the one doing.
Yes.
He says, I'm doing this now. And that also tells us that this is not just an apostle.
Yeah.
You got to understand.
Not just a prophet, as Quran says.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just a prophet doing something through the power of God, but it is also as God doing that. And there are some occasions when he would do that. So, yes, we can say with Christ, it actually goes on to affirm his identity, unique in all the founders of religious movements who never claimed to have done any of those miracles.
Indeed.
You remember the biggest miracle was his resurrection. You remember that in John 2, he says, they say, give us a sign that you are the Son of God, that you come from God. And then he says, I will destroy this body. You will destroy this body and I will raise it.
Yes, in 3 days.
I will do it. So his resurrection is a miracle. He says, I will do it.
Yes.
I will raise this body after 3 days.
Yeah.
I will do it.
Yes.
So that says something about him. But also, it says something about God, because we know that God also raised him on the third day.
Yeah.
It says something about God, and it says something about him also participating in that Godhead.
In that synchrony, yes, indeed. So let's talk about now about the miracles now. What makes his miracles a valuable teaching tool in Christianity?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. Because maybe let's make a distinction now, if you don't mind.
Okay.
That magic is not a miracle.
Okay. Okay.
We still, people can perform magic and we really get excited, but you don't get any serious lessons on magic.
Okay.
Except say, wow, unbelievable.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Oh, you just change this to that.
Mm.
But when we look at Christ's miracles, we tend to see lessons. We tend to see Christ identifying with our needs.
Yeah.
We see Christ using miracles not just to bolster his frail ego, but to meet our needs. And therefore miracles take a different form. Now you can even go to the Old Testament where you had miracles. When Moses performed the miracle of a stick turning into a snake, the Pharaoh soldiers also did the same.
Yes.
But when Moses was doing that, he was doing it to show that I have been sent by God.
Okay.
That snake swallowed all the other snakes. It was a way of saying, Pharaoh, I have been sent by God. But not only that, also a message to the Israelites who did not even trust the source of power that was manifested in Moses, that he has been sent by God, because he needed to convince them also to follow him.
Yeah.
So the miracle had a lesson. But also in the New Testament, Christ feeds a 5,000. Let's come back to our 5,000.
Mm.
He feeds 5,000. They come back and then before they come back for more, then he uses that to teach them. He says, don't spend your time looking for food, even though I provided that food.
Yeah.
I am the manna that came down from heaven.
Yeah.
If anybody eats my body. You see now what is happening?
Mm.
We're moving from the 5,000 loaves, and then we're going to Christ, who is the bread of life.
Then
he says, that's the reason I did this. I was trying to draw your attention to me as the bread of life.
Yeah. So you touched on the issue of these miracles vis-a-vis magic. And I was curious, what was Moses doing there? Was it magic or a miracle?
There we have Moses. You know, we've always had magicians in all these movements. They were called magicians, obviously.
Okay.
They must have done things that were not normal.
Yeah.
And so when Moses, very interesting, I mean, that's a very good question, very, very insightful. When Moses throws his stick and it becomes snake, Pharaoh says, we do that here. I mean,
that's right.
Whenever we have nothing to do, we throw our sticks.
Yes.
So we're not really surprised. And then they are there. But now, when you see the sticks thrown by Pharaoh's magicians, and you see the one thrown by Moses, I'm sure you wouldn't see any difference.
Yes.
But one was a product of magic, and the other one was a product of a miracle.
Okay.
Magic gives appearance of miracles. By the way, that is not the only part of magic, even with the frogs.
Yes.
Even with the frogs. But magic and miracles, when you look at it, because you can see that there's some supernatural power involved in both, in terms of the appearance of magic and the appearance of miracle.
Yeah.
But in that instant, it was the miracle that swallowed the magic.
Wow. Okay.
So at the end of that scene, you only had a miracle.
Okay.
And the magic was gone.
Okay.
And the miracle was actually coming from Moses, who represented God, and whatever else that looked like a miracle had disappeared.
Okay.
Now, if you go to the New Testament, the way people were performing magic, even when the apostles were healing people, you know, you remember there was this guy, can't remember his name right now. He had all these books of sorcery and magic, and he was using that to make a lot of money.
Okay.
And helping people. But when the apostles started their healing, people could see the difference in that. And he himself now wanted to buy that power because he thought this is magic.
Yes.
He wanted to buy that power so that he could use it. And how do you buy the Holy Spirit?
Mm,
And the reason he wanted to do that was he could see the difference between that magic and this miracle. So miracles are the source and what you have already asked, we've alluded to its objective, the lesson, what it seeks to teach us, is not just a display so that you could and a source and a base for authority.
Yeah.
It also meets a need, and it meets it in such a way that it doesn't, therefore, after meeting that need, creates a situation where now you are forced to be a slave to that person.
Yeah.
You know, the people that ate the bread that was provided by Christ as a miracle were never forced to follow Christ, even when they left him.
Yeah.
As they left him in John 6:66. They did. So the miracles were not there to make them slaves.
Yes.
It was there because they were hungry.
Yeah. Wow. So that was a sign of him just doing it because they needed it. It was a sign of compassion. Or shall I ask that, are these miracles an expression of divine compassion and the power of faith?
Yes, that's true. Especially those two components.
Yes.
The power of faith and the divine compassion.
Yes.
You know, they are used as a way of serving humanity.
Yeah.
They are never used as a way of enslaving humanity.
Okay.
You know, when people perform certain magical things and then they say, now, based on what I've done, I mean, in some of other religions,
yeah,
those magical powers are displayed so that you know if you try and try to apostatize and move away, you know what's going to happen to you.
Yes,
because these powers that will really haunt you.
Yeah,
because you saw them; they were displayed, and you saw them.
Yeah,
and we will deal with you. But when Christ does this miracle, you don't get the sense that because of that, even with those who were healed, it was them who said, "I want to follow you." And then Christ said, "No, you don't have to go." You remember with the guys who were healed there, the two demoniacs, and they wanted to follow him. He says, "No, go and testify." He left them there. He says, "Go and minister to your people and tell them what Christ has done." He didn't say, "Come follow me."
Yeah.
No, but whenever you see the miracle, whatever, there's an expectation of you to now be part of this.
Yes.
And some people are actually connected to some of these religions through those magical manifestations.
Oh, Gosiam. All right. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate this. This is very educational, very edifying indeed. I really appreciate it. Can we just pray before I let you go back to the beautiful Salus, Mfundisi?
Yes, thank you, dear Father. We once more, we just looking at the miracles, and we read these and we see in the New Testament how you intervened, how you sought to remove diseases, how you reversed death, how you fed the hungry, how you opened the eyes of those who were blind. When John was in prison and he wanted to know whether you are the Messiah, that you are the one, or should they expect another, the answer was, go tell them what you have seen. And they've seen, Lord, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the blind given sight, the dead being raised. And the message was clear, dear Father, that God is able. God is able. Even when John could not see beyond the prison bars, but he was comforted to know that this is the Messiah. This is the one we have been expecting. Look at what he is doing. And therefore, even when I cannot at this moment experience that, where I'm released from prison, but I know he can in his own way, in his own time, but I can leave my case to him. Right now, dear Father, we want to pray for your children who are going through difficulties, that, Lord, you may reveal yourself to them, even as we pray here at AWR, that you can touch them, even as you speak right now, dear Father, that you can bring healing to them, that you can bring the stability and certainty in their lives, the peace that you have promised, dear Father, because we sometimes talk and we talk, but there comes a point where people need to experience the joy, the peace that passes understanding. And so that, Lord, their faith can also grow. And right now, we join our prayers with their prayers, and we pray that you may intervene in their lives and reveal yourself, Lord, as the source of life and as the one who brings comfort to your children. Bless us all now. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too, Mfundisi. It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.